Good morning, everybody. It's May 7th, 2019. I'm hereby calling the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors to order and would invite you, if you so choose, to join us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. As usual, the first item on our agenda is public comment number one, and I have been notified that a member of the board has an announcement that he would like to make, and after that, we'd be open for comments from other members of the public.
Linda, thank you. I'll be really, really brief. So let me just say that the last 9 years serving as a member of the Board of Supervisors has been the most rewarding of my professional life, way beyond anything I ever expected. And didn't necessarily see this coming, but I'm announcing that I'm resigning from the board effective May 31st. Been offered an unbelievable opportunity to go lead the Iowa State University Research Park, and I'll begin that on June 1st, and it was just too good to pass up. I'll miss working with you guys, and I'll really miss working with our unbelievable staff here in Story County. But I'm excited about the future and just so appreciate all the work that everybody's done. But that's my announcement, so thank you.
Rick, thank you very much for all the service, all the years of service you've given to Story County and the assistance and help that you have provided to me as I become a new supervisor. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Linda.
We'll be seeing you.
Absolutely. Okay. Largest taxpayer in Story County, by the way, is the Iowa State Research Park. There's my plug for my new job.
I was going to say, and I wonder how he's going to use that information in the future. But, Rick, I wish you the best of, I don't even want to say luck, because I know your capabilities. So it'll be more than luck. And looking for you to do good things, and I'm happy that you had a goal come true in this, because I know you look at it as quite a challenge. So,
Lawrence, thank you. Very kind.
Okay, moving on the agenda. Consideration of proclamation declaring May 2019. Oh, I'm very sorry. Is there any other public comment? Excuse me. Okay. Now, Carla, I'm sorry. Consideration of proclamation declaring May 19 as Mental Health Month. Carla Webb.
Good morning. I have a few words to share, and then, Linda, if you want to read the proclamation, that would be great. May is Mental Health Month was started 70 years ago by Mental Health America to raise awareness about mental health conditions and the importance of good mental health for everyone. Statistics show 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. experience a mental illness in a year, and 1 in 5 youth between ages 13 through 18 experience a severe mental disorder during some time in their life. Mental health is essential to everyone's overall health and well-being, and mental illnesses are common and treatable. So much of what we do physically impacts us mentally. It's important to pay attention to both our physical health and our mental health, which can help us to achieve overall wellness and set us on a path to recovery. There are things we can do to help ourselves and each other, such as finding a reason to laugh, going for a walk with a friend, meditating, playing with a pet, or working from home once a week can go a long way in making us both physically and mentally healthy. The company of animals, whether as pets or service animals, can have a profound impact on a person's quality of life and ability to recover from illnesses. A pet can be a source of comfort and can help us to live mentally healthier lives. And whether you go to church, meditate daily, or simply find time to enjoy that cup of tea or coffee each morning while checking in with yourself, it can be important to connect with your spiritual side in order to find that mind-body connection. We want everyone to know that mental illnesses are real and recovery is always a goal. Living a healthy lifestyle may not be easy, but can be achieved by gradually making small changes and building on those successes. Finding the balance between work and play, the ups and downs of life, physical health, and mental health can help on the path towards focusing on mind and body. For more tips, I would encourage everyone to go to the Mental Health America website. Outside of the public meeting room here, I do have information regarding Central Iowa Community Services. This month, we'll be holding a mental health first aid class in Nevada on May 20th, and we have 5 seats available yet. So there are registration forms out there. out on the table also you'll find our CICS crisis line as well as the Veterans Crisis Line. The CICS line and the VA line are both available 24/7. If you call the CICS line, you will be connected to a counselor who can provide counseling over the phone, can also refer you to local resources, and can also connect you to the mobile crisis response team services that are available. That's all I have, Linda.
Carla, thank you. That was very informative and very inspiring. And I would encourage everybody to help themselves to the information that Carla's put on the table out here. That's wonderful. And now it's my pleasure to read the proclamation. Proclamation, Story County Mental Health Month, May 2019. Whereas mental health is essential to everyone's overall health and well-being, and whereas mental illnesses are real and prevalent in our nation, and half of us will have a mental illness diagnosis at some point in our lives, whereas all Americans experience times of difficulty and stress in their lives and should feel comfortable in seeking help and support to manage these times, and whereas engaging in prevention, early identification, and early intervention are effective ways to reduce the burden of mental illnesses as they reduce the burden of other chronic conditions, and whereas there is a strong body of research that identifies behavioral risks and supports, specific tools that all Americans can use to better handle challenges and protect their health and well-being. Whereas, with effective treatment, all individuals with mental illness, even serious mental illnesses, can make progress toward recovery and lead full productive lives and are real and prevalent in our nation. Whereas jails and prisons have often become the default places of custodial care for even nonviolent people with mental illnesses. Whereas each business, school, government agency, healthcare provider, organization, and citizen has a responsibility to promote mental health and well-being for all. Therefore, we, the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim May 2019 as Mental Health Month in Story County. We call upon citizens, government agencies, public and private institutions, businesses, and schools to recommit our community to increasing awareness and understanding of mental health, the steps our citizens can take to protect their mental health, and the need for appropriate and accessible services for all people with mental illnesses at all stages. Signed this 7th day of May, 2019. Thank you, Carla, for bringing this to us.
Thanks, Carla. I move approval.
I second.
Motion second. Any discussion? All in favor? Sanders.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Next is a consideration of 2019 Story County Economic Development Week. Proclamation. Dustin Ingram, are you here? Do you want to say something about this?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Dustin.
So I won't take too much of your time up. I'll just say that a year ago, we made a similar splash here for Economic Development Week, and that we released a video. We're going to do that this week as well. And at that time, I think Dan and Brenda would both agree that, you know, we didn't anticipate the level or the extent of activity that we had for the past 12 months, and it's really touched all corners of Story County. That can't be done without the partnerships that we have throughout the county, partnerships that you are integral in playing a role in. And so thank you for your support, and thank you in advance for proclaiming. I think the proclamation will say the rest. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll read the proclamation. 2019 Economic Development Week Proclamation. Whereas economic developers promote economic well-being and quality of life for their communities by creating, retaining, and expanding jobs that facilitate growth, enhance wealth, and provide a stable tax base, and whereas economic developers attract and retain high-quality jobs, develop vibrant communities, and improve the quality of life in their communities, states, and regions, and whereas the creation of new opportunities for businesses and entrepreneurs is a key component to securing Story County's economic future for generations to come, and whereas Story County is committed to fostering a business climate that will attract employers, enable the county to grow and remain competitive on a global scale, and generate new jobs and opportunities for our citizens, and whereas the Ames Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Commission, the Nevada Economic Development Council, the Story City Economic Development Corporation, the Huxley Economic Development Corporation, and the Story County Economic Development Group are committed to providing quality resources that boost economic growth and enhance quality of life throughout Story County, Therefore, we, the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim May 6, 2019 through May 11, 2019 as Economic Development Week in appreciation of all our partners in the economic development field, of what all our partners in the economic development field do to make Story County the vibrant and thriving community it is today. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll so move.
Yeah, and I'll second, and I would, so as I'm sure some of you can imagine, I'm feeling a little nostalgic today, and I just want to say that in 2013, when this concept of trying to pull together Story County in total into under one umbrella when it came to economic development, those of us who worked on that, I think had an idea that it could be beneficial, but we didn't really scratch the surface of how beneficial it could be. And as we sit here today, comparing where we were to where we are, Story County was really fragmented, and we had a lot of people and entities pulling in different directions, competing against each other, and to the detriment of Story County as a total. And I just want to say to Dan and his entire team, you have way surpassed any expectations that we had. I'm so thrilled. From corner to corner, border to border in Story County, there is one economic development professional organization representing everybody now, and it puts us all in a better position. And, Dan, you and your staff have done a phenomenal job. Thank you so much.
And thank you. If it's okay, we'd like to get a photo as well. Is that okay?
Oh, a vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
She moved.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Thank you for the reminder. Okay, next we're going.
I got a picture.
Oh, taking a picture?
Come stand next to me.
I will.
This will all be over, all of our social media here soon. Yeah. Oh, stir together.
Okay, all right. Okay, you want the proclamation in the picture? Okay,
I'm going to take three with this and three with this one.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Thank you. Next thing on the agenda is a report on the Iowa Games, which will be brief. We had a discussion last week, and it was regarding budgeting, and was that a line item in our agenda that was just automatic, or should we be looking at that annually? I followed up. I spoke with Kevin Burke, who is the chief operating officer, or is, of Iowa Sports Foundation, and with Chuck Long, and Mr. Burke evidently was the person with the history on this. He said that they used to come, make a presentation annually, and then a previous supervisor who's no longer on the board had said, oh, well, don't do that. Just send an invoice. I said, well, that's okay. We're supportive of the Iowa Games. However, it was our process rather than the Iowa Games we were talking about. He said that they would be very willing to send us something to come do a presentation every year. I said they could come do a presentation if they wanted to. But I thought we'd be fine with them just sending a written request for funds. And they said they were fine with that. So unless anybody else has any problem with it, I think we've kind of put that issue to rest.
I'm good with the issue of Iowa Games.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think we need a motion then.
Nope.
Okay. Super. Let's move on then. Agency reports. We have Workforce and Economic Development Quarterly Report, Brenda Dreyer and Dustin Ingram.
We thought it was appropriate that we provide the Story County Board of Supervisors with their quarterly report actually on Economic Development Week. And so We're pleased to be here today to talk first and foremost about workforce, and then we're going to I'll turn it over to Dustin, who will then give you a report as it relates to the services we provide on behalf of the via contract to provide services to communities under 2000. So let's start with workforce. As you look at the end of 2018, Story County unemployment was 1.4%. It was down from 1.6 the end of year 2017, lowest in Iowa, and actually over the past 12 months, really we've been the lowest in the whole country. So if you jump on the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the federal government, you'll find that the Ames MSA continues to be the lowest unemployment in the country.
So, which is all of Story County.
All of Story County, yes, that it would be considered the Ames MSA. So over the past 12 months, we remain up. We ended the year up 600 jobs, and talks a little bit about a lot of that gain really being in the private sector. And certainly we did a lot of work on economic development last year. We got a lot of new jobs in the pipeline. It's going to be exciting to see that job growth over even 2018 as we move through 2019. In March, the unemployment was at 1.5%, and again, I always try to compare it to a year ago, and that we're, you know, down from 1.9 in 2018. We've talked a lot over the years. You know that you've been supportive of a labor shed study for the whole county. We continue to get updates on our wages from the Iowa Workforce Development. So we have new wage data for 2018 that we've got available on our site. I've provided that to Leanne. It's there for any one of our businesses that want to take a look at their wages, make sure they're in sync. And this will be the year that we actually do get an update to our labor shed study. The last time it was updated was 2016. Kind of new is that the state of Iowa now is doing labor shed studies. It's important to them that the whole state, while we've always updated Story counties, that hasn't been the case across Iowa. So now they're being funded by the state of Iowa. They'll launch our labor shed study in conjunction with our offices this summer, and it'll take almost a year to complete that. So we should have results almost a year from now in terms of what our current labor situation looks like. A report on the Story County Job Board. Again, your support of our workforce efforts is so key. We ended the year with 107,000 searches on workinames.com. When I pulled the numbers the end of April, we were at 32,000 already. So continues to get a lot of traction. I'm very excited about the fact that 962 people have registered as job seekers. They want to work in Story County. And so the job board is dynamic. It matches with current job openings. We have 354 registered employers, and we'd love to see that number grow. Really is trying to get the word out that there is no cost to post on the board, and really that's because of your support that we're able to provide this service across Story County. We do continue to sweep jobs from Indeed. I'd highlight the matching capabilities of registered job seekers against the jobs that are open. And again, it's a free service to any Story County employer. We've got a few new things that we're working on here for 2019. The first of which is a sponsorship and partnership with the Technology Association of Iowa. We have a growing need for jobs in the computer science, software engineering field. We have way more openings than what we're producing out of Iowa State. We have a need for experienced computer and software folks. So we aligned ourselves with the Technology Association. They're promoting our companies that have those types of opportunities. They're growing a database that we can market to at any time, the number of jobs that we have open. They added 500 names to their database, so they have a database of about 3,500 people with ties to Iowa that are working in information technology, software engineering, computer science. So it's really a key group that we're trying to get the word out about our jobs. So actually Thursday night, John Hall and I were up at a meetup event in the Twin Cities. There were 50 folks registered, and the time went quick, and we had a lot of interest in our jobs and aims, and I'm excited to hear that, you know, while there are 50 there, we'll continue to mark to those 50. I'd say we have four strong candidates that are talking with us now about exact opportunities we might have available for them and their families to come back to the area to actually take work. We are going to be, we had a partnership in the fall and into the winter with DMAC and six of our Story County employers. We had 14 participants go through a workforce training academy to be upskilled to maintenance technicians. And so it was a pretty rigorous program. We will be graduating 14 participants from that program on May 13th. And so this is something we see that we need to do a lot more of. I see a number of friends that we've been talking about the importance of really upskilling our workforce, giving them more skills, looking for partnerships so they can take some higher skilled opportunities and work 40 hours a week with employers willing to pay benefits. But this is a great example of how we can partner with our business community to increase increase people's skill sets and fill hard to fill positions. We're wrapping up our spring community college job fairs. You can see all the locations we represented this year. We're marketing to the names we collected at each of those career fairs, highlighting the number of great opportunities we have in all different sorts of fields here in Story County. We've participated already in three virtual career fairs. We had a great experience in the Big 12 virtual career fair. It's so nice to be able to talk to people that actually know and understand where we're located when you're talking with people at a wider audience than just here in Iowa. So we've already collected, since the first of the year, 2,200 leads that we're marketing to on a regular basis, again, driving them to work in Ames.com. Some other things that we have in the works, we are working with the Nevada School District to model an apprenticeship program with the high schools here in Story County, partnering with our companies that need welders, and we're projecting a launch of that program next summer. We're working on a programming portal where we can connect our schools in Story County with business opportunities, so if they want to have a guest lecture or they want to get a tour, it'll be a place where we can make those connections between our schools and our businesses, clear down to our preschoolers and our preschool programs across the county. We're going to be working with a group of teachers in June in something called a Teaching for Workforce Academy. We're going to be taking a group of teachers out to a number of businesses across the county so they understand the type of skill sets and the type of opportunities. That will be a four-credit opportunity for teachers, and registration opened this week, and we already have folks registered for that. So we're excited about trying to reach students via strong teachers in the county. Looking ahead to fall and Manufacturing Week, we're going to be doing a parent and student event actually at the new Cirrus and Alliant Energy facility out at the Research Park. So we'll be actually the first event that's really scheduled for that space. And the goal would be is to have our manufacturers highlight the number of great opportunities they have available. Sometimes it's getting the message to our parents that while we can appreciate a four-year education at one of our universities, there's a lot of great opportunities that don't require a bachelor's or graduate degree. So you'll be hearing more about that as we roll through and get closer to October 9th. We still have three more career fairs here in the county. We partner with the Ames Library and Iowa Workforce Development. We've got one of those on June 5th, another on August 7th, and one on October 2nd. We run those from 10 until noon at the library. We see about 50 to 75 active job seekers at those events. At the event we had in April, we had a Story City employer that had never attended one of our job fairs. They actually lined up three interviews during the 2 hours that they were there and hired two of the three. And so those sorts of job fairs are making a difference, and they're connecting people to jobs. And finally, I've got flyers available. It's hard to believe that time is upon us here again to talk about See Yourself in Ames. Remember, that's a countywide intern program. We've got a four series event coming up. A little different this year. They're not all night events. So we got some feedback from the interns is that not everybody likes to go to a night event. So we've got two lunch events. We're partnering with a couple other things that we're doing at the chamber, but a little bit of different things with each of those four events. So we've got an event where we'll partner with our fuel group, the young professionals, here at the end of the month. We'll go out to the west side of Ames, and we'll have Jamie Pollard and Cy join us for a message out there for an evening event out at the Sioux Cup Basketball Complex. We'll actually we'll invite them to be a part of our leadership event on July 16th at Prairie Moon. That'll be a lunch event. Talk to a dynamic speaker from Iowa State. That'll be our day about bringing your whole self to work, really about networking and putting your best foot forward as you start to enter the world of work. And then we're going to, on the final session, actually hear from two entrepreneurs in our community that not only are starting a business but making an impact across the county. So we'll end at Campus Cycle and hear from Lindsay Fenley and Kelsey Carper, again, a lunch event. So I have some flyers that I'd love to share with you related to that. I'd welcome any workforce questions you might have before Dustin takes over. No questions.
Just thank you for the work you're doing.
Yeah. Again, thank you for your support. We really, it would be difficult to be able to do all the things that we're doing if it wasn't for your very generous support.
Thank you, Brenda. Dustin?
So we're in the midst of award season right now, and I'd like to start out by talking about the Prometheus Awards. Supervisor Olson can attest that we attended the Technology Association of Iowa's Prometheus Awards to a packed room of basically the who's who in technology in Iowa. And Story County had pretty heavy representation there at that award ceremony. And so Story County as a whole was nominated for a Community of the Year finalist. To my knowledge, that's the only county that's ever been in that category for nomination. While we didn't receive that award, we still got that recognition, which is extremely exciting. And most of those other communities were in the Des Moines Metro, so it shows our competitiveness at a statewide level. Grossman Technologies also received the Startup Technology Company of the Year Award. That's an ISU-born company that's actually going to locate to Slater, Iowa, for its offices, and they're going to open a demonstration facility there. We'll talk a bit more about that in a second, but I thought I'd highlight that they received the Startup Technology Company of the Year Award. And then the big one was Ames Seed Capital received the LWBJ Impact Award, which you're aware of, but Ron Heilenbeck was able to walk on stage and accept that right a long time of his retirement, so it really fit nicely for that. As for downtown revitalization goes, the top picture there is a photograph of the upper story and the Ziering, the old bank building in Ziering. That redevelopment's going as planned. This was over a month ago, actually, when I visited to tour that building, and so I'm sure they've made even more progress now. But you can see they basically gutted the whole place, and they're putting up some extra walls there, and the ceiling is done as well. And then there's another photograph below of a wall that they're working on. But that project's going as planned, and we're extremely excited to welcome new commercial business in the bottom floor and housing in the upper story when it's complete. Collins is also working on its downtown, as always. They've seen significant business development in their downtown, in their commercial district. One of those projects includes a grocery store concept. You'll hear more about this soon because, to my knowledge, they're going to be submitting an application for urban renewal funds for this project. Now, that would be a cooperative model. It's a small space in their downtown, but they've seen through a vending facility in their downtown that there is a demand for basic goods, and they believe that they can sustain a grocery store, at least on a small scale, in their downtown for the residents of Collins. Again, on Grossman Technologies, we talked about Slater a bit, where they're going to occupy a former vacant building in their downtown, which not only uses a space, but it just makes the downtown as a whole look a lot better. I have some big news for that in a second, but Just know that that's on the way. The building has now been sold. They made an offer to Slater to the city council, and now they've acted on that. And then finally, Cambridge Opera House redevelopment is proceeding. We're awaiting a USDA announcement of about $360,000 to make that project happen. That's stalled just a bit because of the government shutdown from several months ago, but I expect an announcement will come in the next couple of months. So the big news. So more awards. I attended the Rural Summit in Grinnell a few weeks ago, and $2.9 million in community catalyst funding was awarded to communities throughout the state. The big news, though, is that two of those communities out of the 29 are in Story County. And so for the past two funding cycles, the only two funding cycles, Story County's actually received three of these catalyst awards. We're actually running out of project eggs to apply for. So it's great news. The first one there on the left, that's the building for Grossland Technologies downtown at Slater. This is interesting because it doesn't have an upper story to it. The state likes to award projects that have upper story housing and bottom floor commercial, but because of the opportunity that Grossland presented to Slater, this made that application extremely competitive. So we'll receive $100,000, and then you can see the Cambridge Opera House, former Opera House redevelopment project there on the right. Another $100,000 for that. That's going to be piecemeal, right? So we're going to look at a ton of different funding sources to make it happen. It's an expensive project, but we've already received leads and prospects for these spaces, two commercial spaces on lot four, and then three housing units in the upper story. So we're happy that Story County has, again, heavy representation there at the Rural Summit, and then we were able to get a couple photographs there receiving that big check for $200,000 in investment in our communities. Just highlights to go off of. Economic Development Week, thank you again for proclaiming that. 82% of Roland's residents also voted to approve the bond for the pool redevelopment. Now, as you may know, that pool is in almost complete disrepair, and if they don't act to repair the pool, they'll lose that amenity for the community. That's attractive to families. And so there's a group of folks in town, spearheaded really by the mayor, putting together a group for the pool committee, but these people have been extremely aggressive and optimistic in terms of rallying support for that project. You may also anticipate that they'll come forward with an application for UR funds as well. Also in Roland, we're working on plans to promote housing and extending electricity and gas to unserved industrial parcels. This is a long process, really starting with the building codes, right? So we've reviewed those building codes, they're good to go, and now we're looking at site readiness for industrial and housing. Three parcels for housing, and then extending electricity and other infrastructure to existing parcels for industrial, just to make it more attractive for development. Reading out the corner, we talked about this last year. There was a question there, right, of whether or not that was even going to be open at this point. They did find an owner, or at least someone to run the facility in the hotel, or the motel. I believe that person is actually living in the motel. The restaurant's back open, so we are able to maintain that historic asset, which I think is incredibly important just to the culture of Colo. And then the new Small Business Development Center director, that's Dave Biedenbach. We drove him around the entire county to introduce him to basically all the towns with fewer than 2,000 people so that we could connect that additional resource to those businesses in the small towns. You know, a lot of times we're a conduit for resources and tools, right? So if a business needs something that we're not able to provide, we like to be able to say that we have this other resource available to connect them to. And Dave is a wealth of knowledge and has been very helpful on that front. Colo is evaluating its potential for housing development. Again, this is a long-term conversation, but it's something that we're working on, and we'd like to see housing development there and elsewhere. And then also communities are preparing to submit applications for UR funds. I'm here to help. I'll keep you informed as I hear other projects that are in the pipe. And so I take any questions on that as well anytime. And it's my pleasure, actually, to help these communities with that. So finally, one last thing here. Thank you for support, by the way. But we're extending an offer today to an intern for an opportunity for community economic development work for someone at Iowa State University. So just so you know, that intern will be working on projects that are related to countywide work. That's happening today.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, so I need to say this. So we have been so fortunate as we've gone through this. Drew Camp was absolutely the right guy to run our countywide outreach as we started the program, and then Brenda, you came in and took it over and took it to the next level. And Dustin, you're doing exactly the same thing, taking it over for Brenda, and I'm so appreciative. And I just want to point out a couple things. I know we've got one resident of Cambridge, at least one resident of Cambridge sitting in the audience. Think about where some of these small towns were 10 years ago. Ziering had more buildings boarded up than they had occupied. Collins had more buildings boarded up than occupied. Cambridge was a quaint little town that was probably most famous for just closing down the adult club that sat there on the corner. And now these have all turned into vibrant small towns where you go to the main street and people are parked and there's activity and there's construction. And while it's a lot of people doing a lot of heavy lifting, I don't think it can be overstated the importance of having professional assistance just to help guide them through the process of how they go about getting. I mean, I think what you stated about of the two grant cycles we've received, Story County towns have received three of the 29 awarded. Nobody else is doing that. And one of the reasons nobody else is doing that is they don't have the kind of professional help that you guys are providing. So, again, I started with it with the proclamation, and I'll end with it here. We're so fortunate to have what you guys are doing, and it is helping the people that want to do great things in Story County scratch the itch that they know they have and they just couldn't figure out how to scratch it. You guys are helping with that, and thank you so much.
I'll jump on that praise and continue it. And there are a lot of different ways to measure success. But there's no question that we pay $85,000 a year for the AADC services and another $40,000 now for workforce development. And we can see just from this report itself, let alone all the other things that have happened in the last few years, it's clear that we're getting a great return on our money. I at least think so. So thank you for all of you. I know I'm a critic, and I will continue to be a critic and ask hard questions. But thank you for showing that this is viable and producing good results.
And I would concur with the comments that have been made, and thank you very much for the good work that you're doing. So, appreciate it. Moving on, Veteran Affairs Quarterly Report, Brett McLean. And Brett, we do have your written report, and I've had a chance to look at it, so just anything you want to highlight, but you don't have to read through it all.
Okay. Yeah, I can
do this. Is this the same one that was attached?
I've updated it a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Because this was for last year. Okay. A long meeting.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, good morning. That's a hard act to follow here.
I'm here to talk about my favorite subject, Veterans Story County. So this is our quarterly report, which covers January through March 31st. Greetings from the Commission of Veterans Affairs. Patrick Pekins is our chair, Amy Rosenberg, secretary, and Russell Bauer is our member. Three veterans came in during the quarter for rent assistance. That total was $1,335, and that was our total for county assistance. During the third quarter, you might say second on your paper. During the third quarter, we interviewed 229 veterans and or surviving spouses for eligibility for federal, state, and county VA benefits. The breakdown of that 229 interviews were 176 men and 53 women, 29 who were served during World War II, 37 during Korea, 71 Vietnam, 28 who served during the Persian Gulf War, 13 who served during the Cold War or peacetime, and 11 who served during or served in Iraq or Afghanistan, OIF, OEF, or OND. And then we had 40 surviving spouses of veterans that we interviewed. Started a new program November the 14th, Hometown Outreach Program, and kind of give you an up-to-date on that. January, February, and March kind of did half days at the beginning of tour number one, which that has been completed. But following up the half days, we did Gilbert, McCallsburg, Colo, ISU, Vet Center, Kelly, Cambridge, and Maxwell. And to reflect back to COLO, we've seen 14 veterans in 3.5 hours. I don't believe I've ever done that in the office, so it's really been paying off. Then we started with full-day events. We've hit Nevada, Roland, and Zering, total of 38 veterans and surviving spouses that we're seeing, you know, when we went out to those places. So that program's really working. I've got three places I'm going yet this month for whole-day events. Last fall, started working with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach on an event for our military community, active duty, veterans, retired military, family, and the community. That pretty much covers everybody. Tomorrow, May 8th, is our first military symposium. It's 8:30 to 4:30. It's at Iowa State in the Sunroom. We are a pilot program for Iowa. Things go well here, we plan on moving this program to other towns in Iowa. So look forward to anybody that's registered for tomorrow at our event over there. That's all I have, Board, if you have any questions for me.
Okay, questions?
Oh, but about the event tomorrow, I had put it on my schedule, and now I've got a couple of meetings over here that the way they're scheduled, I may only be able to get over there for maybe an hour. And I was just wondering, do I just tell them we have a booth there, or should I just go ahead and pay the fee to get in if I am able to make it tomorrow? I was a little unclear because the poster says $10 admission.
Right. Registration was $10.
Okay. All right.
And if, yeah.
You've so then I'll just that go in. That route if I'm yeah. able to make it over.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Just wanted to ask. Okay.
You bet. Well, thanks for,
sure.
Thanks for signing up.
Okay.
Thanks, Brett.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Next we have Karen Mosier. And I hear you're leaving us.
I am. Unfortunately.
Okay. Carrie is reporting on the Urgency Residence Project.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terry.
First, I'd like to thank you for all of your continued support of the Emergency Residence Project. As you can see in my annual report, we've been very, very busy. Had a lot of changes in our programming over the last couple of years, and part of that is due to your continued support, so thank you. Biggest highlight over the last year, we've implemented a coordinated entry system. What basically that means is that we're able to prioritize folks based on a set assessment tool that is used across the entire state. So we're prioritizing people for the limited housing resources that we do have instead of first come, first serve, which is wonderful. That way we are able to target people that are more chronically homeless, that have higher barriers to housing, the quote-unquote harder to serve populations, and making sure that they're getting access to those limited housing resources first and foremost, rather than you came to my door first, so I'm going to serve you, even if that program doesn't really match what your needs are. So we're very excited about that. That system's been operational since August 2018. We have a wonderful partnership with YSS and Access to make this work, and we're working on continuing to increase the partners at the table, not only in Story County, but throughout our 5-county region. We've also developed a new rapid rehousing program, which I spoke about last year. It is fully operational, and it's really assisted with helping us get especially single individuals out of our shelter and into housing and their own housing, which is wonderful. While we provide some financial assistance and case management services to help them through that transition from experiencing homelessness into housing. With the addition of that program, we are able to switch our transitional housing program to serve the harder to serve families, which is a shift in focus for our agency historically. Therefore, we anticipate that we'll be serving families longer, since they will be families with higher barriers to self-sufficiency and accessing permanent housing. We may not. We're not sure, but I anticipate that we'll be serving them longer, therefore meaning that we'll be serving less number of families, but we'll be providing them with quality services and throughout their services to help them be more successful as they transition out. We continue to implement our shelter diversion programming. we do our best shelter we did our best shelter diversion when we were full, but when we had openings, we just said, yeah, sure, come on in. So implementing those techniques with every call that comes in, we've seen a great increase in people that were able to successfully divert from shelter versus having to turn away because we're full. And therefore, in return, we're also, the few openings that we do have are better able to prioritize those for people that don't have any other resources available to them. So we're seeing success with that as well. The other thing that we've been doing that is not in the report is developing a street outreach program so that we're going out to people that are experiencing literal homelessness, making connections to them in the places where they're at rather than forcing them to come into shelter. So I've already gone through a homeless outreach, went out one night with Ames PD a couple weeks ago, planning on going out again this Wednesday night, connecting people to services, doing the assessment tool for coordinated entry. That way we can work with getting them into housing without forcing them to come into shelter to gain access to those resources. So seeing how we can get people connected despite whether or not they're able to come into shelter. I have the statistics there for you. We've been very busy providing over 7,000 nights of shelter so far this year, averaging about 25 people a night. With funds that we've received both in Boone and Marshalltown, we were able to provide motel vouchers to folks in those communities so that they're not having to relocate here, which is a wonderful benefit to folks in those communities, in Boone especially, since Boone is our second highest referral county outside of Story County. It's been very, very beneficial to keep people in their home community without making them relocate here and alleviating some of the pressure that we felt after Crawford Hall closed a couple years ago. As Linda mentioned, I unfortunately am leaving the organization. My husband and I are moving out of state at the beginning of June, so my last day will be May 31st. Our board of directors is actively working on identifying a new director, and as soon as that person is onboarded, I'm sure that introductions will be made and connections will be made with the new director. I've greatly appreciated the support over these last 3 years and getting to know all of you on the Board of Supervisors, and thank you for everything that you've done. With that, I'll entertain any questions about the
questions.
Yeah, so I would just say for all of us, our goal ought to be in all things to leave it better than we find it, and you absolutely did that. We're really fortunate you're leaving ERP in as good a position as it can be in, and just appreciate the way you modernized things and thought through kind of the processes we were using. So thank you and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Also, yes, thank you for what you've done. I've also, you know, in attending the Two River meetings, have been very impressed that all of the agencies, how the agencies have worked together to create this system, the referral system, and it's encouraging to know that coordination is going to continue. You really did a great job of facilitating through on the beginning of this. So I, as far as you know, Troy and Linda are staying.
Yes.
Okay, great. The two set of your staff members.
Yes.
So I look forward to continued success with what you've built, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Carrie, I have just a few comments as well. And I want to comment specifically on a couple of things in your report.
Yes.
The coordinated entry, the fact that you're doing assessments and determining both, you know, the severity of the need and the type of need is really, really important. And I think that's something we don't do often enough in human services. We say a homeless person is a homeless person, and the needs are so different. I'm also impressed with the rapid rehousing because from the research I've seen in the past, the longer anybody's institutionalized, regardless of what their situation was when they came in, the longer they're institutionalized, the harder it is to get them back into services. So that's
very
good.
Much so.
And I didn't know about the street outreach program, and that really kind of fits a lot with the things like mental health is doing with mobile crisis, going out with law enforcement. I hope that, you know, I think our law enforcement are excellent. I hope that's not an off-putting thing, if you know what I mean, if people want services.
So far, at least the one night that I went out, it worked very, very well. Good. And the officers that I went out with have a very good rapport with the folks mm-hmm. that they're coming into contact with. The folks that at least we talk to very much know and appreciate what the law enforcement officers are trying to do and know that they have their best intentions in mind, but also knowing that they can't be where they are. So what mm-hmm. can we do to help get you out successfully? Yeah. So it went very, very well, and I'm very excited Good. To go out again on Wednesday night.
Good. And I imagine that it will go very well because that's my experience as well with our law enforcement. They know the people who need the services. They deal with them frequently, and they know how to deal with them on an individualized basis as you were doing. So best wishes for your future. Thank you so much for all the things you've done in this 3 short years.
Thank you very much. I appreciate okay. it. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Now we'll hear from Carrie McPartland with a report on the Salvation Army. Good morning.
Carrie, you're not resigning, are you?
No, but I have been warning
over. Okay.
I did. There was a theme going
no,
here.
Yeah. No, not this time. Well, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm sorry I didn't follow directions and get this report sent out to you, but I'll begin by speaking about the two services that you do fund, the Emergency Disaster Services and Build Pair Program. I got to tell you, we're thrilled to have Major Nathan and Major Michelle Harms, our Corps officers stationed here. Major Michelle is very experienced at disaster services. In fact, she just came back from a 2-week deployment in the western side of the state, helping in Nebraska and Iowa with people who are surviving those floods over there. So a lot of the funds are going, all of the funds thus far are going to really for training internally with volunteers and sort of beefing up our ability to serve Story County. She attends the Story County Coalition for Disaster Recovery Services meetings. I'm the person who attends in her absence. So we're happy to work with those folks in making sure that if in the event something happens in the county that we can be called upon to serve. The Bill Payer program is an interesting program where we actually work with older adults who need assistance, making sure they aren't taken advantage of with their finances. And so we have volunteers that we've recruited either from RSVP or the Volunteer Center who are vetted very well and who go in and make sure their bills are paid, things are checkbooks are balanced, and that things are filed in order to try to keep some normalcy there for those individuals. We had worked with up to 5 people this year, but currently are working with 4. Those volunteers spent 151 direct hours and 62 non-direct, which would be like making calls on their behalf, balancing checkbooks, doing reports for us. And so those folks are very dedicated to making sure that our older folks live in the least restrictive environment for as long as possible. I'd be remiss, though, if I didn't talk about the other 3 services, and I'll cover those very quickly. Homelessness prevention is something we've offered since we started in Story County. Through April, we've assisted 106 families. This is from July 1st of last year. And we've helped 106 families with rent or utilities, and that's helped 292 people keep a roof over their head for at least another night. And of these families, 70 are brand new to us. Brand new means we've never seen them in our office or we haven't assisted them for 2 years. And the vast majority of those are people we've never seen before. Our representative payee program is very busy. We're serving 54 clients. 52 of those reside in the county. We have another 17 on a waiting list. We make sure that their Social Security funds, and some of us actually have us manage their work funds as well, that those are used for food, shelter, you know, things that they need to sustain living on a day-to-day basis. And we get a lot of referrals from the Social Security Administration. They seem to be referring the majority of the people directly to us. If we can't provide the service, we do have other avenues to refer them to and do that. We also have our hunger relief program, and we have a food pantry and are doing the most good market. Our doing the most good market started a couple years ago when we began partnerships with Walmart, Fresh Time, and with Come & Go, and we recently added two Fairways and Ames. We are very busy. It's growing very quickly, and it's not a positive thing, but I'm glad we're here to help. Since July 1st, we've served a total of 10,039 people. That's 1,467 separate visits to our food pantry, and that's 2,893 separate visits to the market. With the market, they're getting fresh produce, dairy, they're getting breads and other things that that cost more, but that they don't necessarily have access to. We've also been working with the food pantries in Cambridge, Colo, and Zering now for over 2 years, and we give them sandwiches, meat, produce, and other items that we have a little extra of, and that's really the working, we like to call it our reverse mobile food pantry. Instead of us going to them, they're stopping by once a week and picking those things up to take to the people who live in their communities so that they don't have to drive to see us. And so that's been working out really well. And we've had to add refrigeration and freezer capacity, and we've had to add new racks to our market to hold all the new stuff that we're getting. We've got great partnerships with United Way, and they have helped us fund that capacity building, and we were written into a Mary Greeley Medical Center grant, unbeknownst to us, that they received from Iowa Healthcare Collaboration, and they gave us $11,000 to purchase fresh produce, so we purchased shares from a CSA in Story County. So we're really excited about the things that we're able to offer. We can't do all of this without volunteers, so we partner with Volunteer Center of Story County and RSVP, and we have a lot of partners. Some are in the room. One of them left. but we can't do it without that partnership, and we can't do it without the funds, so we want to thank you.
Excellent report. Questions?
No, I just want to say, she knows it's coming, because I attend the Hanger Collaboration also, and Carrie and her volunteers and her small staff are such an integral part of feeding people in need in this county, and the enthusiasm she brings to it and the understanding she has of all the dynamics and factors involved are amazing. And I love watching Carrie work with Sarah now from United Way and Shannon Bardole before staff about in the statistics and understanding how those translate into practical application. So thank you for your work, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Carrie, thank you very much. Good to see you.